KABU is proud to present one of the greatest jazz films ever made, Round Midnight. Join us Thursday, December 12th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater for this 1986 American-French film that captured the Paris jazz scene of the 1950s. Watch jazz legend Dexter Gordon deliver an Oscar-nominated performance. Round Midnight, the Clinton Street Theater, Thursday, December 12th at 7 p.m., 2522 Southeast Clinton.
In conjunction with KABU's presentation of Round Midnight at the Clinton Street Theater, tune in Wednesday afternoon, December 11th, when KABU jazz host Rita Rega talks with bassist Chuck Israels about his experiences in the Paris jazz scene in the 1950s, playing with pianist Bud Powell, the real-life inspiration for the film. That's Wednesday afternoon, December 11th, between noon and 2 p.m. on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM.
You are tuned to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. It's now a few seconds past 11 p.m., and you've just started listening to the UBU Hour.
Hey, it's December. Here at the UBU, we want to wish you all a very wonderful holiday season.
To help bring on the holiday cheer, we have our good friends from Fox News here with us, Swill O'Reilly, star of The O'Reilly Fracture, and writer Ann Coulter-Geist.
No one knows more about holiday cheer than Swill and Ann. Happy holidays to you both. You have an important message for our radio listeners.
Happy holidays? How can it be happy when the liberals and atheists continue their war on Christmas, even on this radio show?
Every year, our nation's traditions are assaulted by craven attempts at PC inclusiveness. The liberals are the real Grinch that stole Christmas.
The war on Christmas has reached new lows in the past few years. What is this nation coming to when you can't even call a Christmas tree in a public square a Christmas tree anymore?
Holiday tree? Who ever heard of such a thing? It makes me sick how these people want to kill the spirit of the Christmas season.
School children forced to sing secular songs along with the Christmas carols. Greeting cards with generic holiday greetings. The war on Christmas destroys the very fabric of what makes this nation great.
A Christmas tree is a Christmas tree is a Christmas tree.
And what does this fir tree have to do with the birth of Christ? The Douglas fir didn't grow in the Middle East 2,000 years ago. Why don't they use palm trees instead?
The supposed birth of Christ. Wasn't he really born in the late spring, not the dead of winter? As for the Christmas tree, perhaps that was the wood the Romans used to build the cross they nailed him to.
Shut up! You don't know what you're talking about. You people are hopelessly brainwashed by the atheist agenda.
They obviously don't realize how serious the problem is. Let's get out of here, Swill. These people are totally unwilling to listen to reason.
Hey, Swill, Anne, where are you going? We haven't finished this segment yet.
What is the point of talking to you people? You are stuck in a liberal bubble. This way, Anne. What a relief. Escape that den of iniquity.
Your agent blew that booking. How could he do this to us?
I don't know. I should have listened to Lars Larson about this city.
Didn't you used to work for one of the television stations here?
What? A television station in Portland?
Yes, you were an anchor here at one time. When you had more hair.
I don't remember that at all. Must have been a long time ago, Anne. Here's the limo to whisk us to the airport.
Hi there, Mr. O'Reilly, sir. Miss Coulter-Geist, ma'am. Climb inside and I'll take you where you want to go. Happy holiday to the both of you.
Happy holiday? What's so happy about it when we have to hear insolence like that?
The nerve of you, driver. I don't even know if I trust this ride.
I'm sorry, ma'am. Did I do something wrong?
We don't want your goddamn happy holidays and joyful seasons!
The brainwashing of this war on Christmas has even affected our limo driver. Is there no end to the horror?
I'm sorry! Sorry!
What is wrong with saying Merry Christmas? Huh? Is there anything wrong with telling the truth?
But it's not Christmas yet. Christmas is 23 days away. I'll tell you what, Mr. O'Reilly, sir. On Christmas Day, I'll say Merry Christmas. Why the fuck should I say it now?
You're fired!
The driver has a point there.
That is wrong. Christmas begins the weekend after Thanksgiving and continues until January 5th.
At the big department stores, Christmas usually starts the day after Halloween.
So, really, there's not 12 days of Christmas, but more like 40 or 50?
We'll have to rewrite that song. On the 38th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me...
38 days, that's a lot of gifts. Only 1% would be able to afford all that. Hey, where did Swill O'Reilly and Ann Coltergeist go?
Over there, they're getting away. Follow them!
This way, Ann! We need to find a way out of this anti-Christmas sketch! These people are hopeless!
Hurry, Swill, they're coming after us. Can't you run any faster?
I'm trying to!
You really could lose some weight.
It will lose a man!
Shut up, you anorexic bitch!
Those people are in a liberal bubble. This whole city is in a left-wing bubble of delusion.
Yes, trapped in the liberal bubble. Okay. They can't get through this gate. We're safe.
There's no point in arguing with them because liberals are so stupid. They should be rounded up by Homeland Security and taken to a detention center.
Yeah, that would have happened in the good old days when we had a Christian like W. Bush in the White House. Dear God, what is this country coming to?
Okay, here we are. Is that one of our press agents waiting for us?
Hey! Hey, you're Swill O'Reilly.
That's right.
Can I ask you a question? If Jesus was alive today, would he be more likely to join Occupy or the Tea Party?
He definitely would never, ever join an anarchist pinko friend group like Occupy.
The Tea Party, of course, neither Debtor or Lender B. Jesus would be just as concerned about the spiraling Obama deficit as the Tea Party.
He'd recognize the Tea Party as fellow Christians. If he came back today, he might even want to join them. Certainly, he would not join a bunch of lazy slackers who want more government handouts.
But what about his concerns for poverty? His disdain for the wealthy and elite?
That's only the liberal elite. To think Jesus would have anything to do with a bunch of ragtag, motley socialists who hate capitalism is absolutely absurd.
I suppose you're right. He'd rather join a bunch of greedy old white people who hate taxes and welfare.
Yes, it would be obvious to anyone who could think correctly.
No time for that now. There's a transport beam to whisk us back to the Fox newsroom. Here we go. God, we escaped that pagan paradise.
Just in time, Swill. It's almost time for you to go on the air.
Right you are, Ann. Good evening, all you people out there. What a relief to be back in the real world of Fox News, where things are fair and balanced.
Yes, Swill, Fox News, where we can have a reasonable debate, where you take the more moderate conservative side, and I take a less moderate conservative side.
That's what I love about debating you, Ann. We can cover both sides of every issue.
As we just witnessed right before we came here to the studio, the war on Christmas continues. Thankfully, Sarah Palin has written a new book about the war on Christmas.
And we and all our affiliates will be offering the book for prizes for the next 3 weeks.
Someone has to buy them. Ever wondered why these conservative writers are able to sell so many books?
Remember, listeners out there, the war on Christmas is more than a battle to save a holiday.
It is a war against our civil rights and religious freedoms. It's a war against the very fabric of what makes this Christian nation great.
Christian-hating gays and atheists want to take away our religious rights and freedom.
Yeah, the religious right and freedom to have one's religion pushed into the face of everyone else.
They disrespect Christmas. Replacing Merry Christmas with a generic greeting like Happy Holidays is a direct assault on our nation's Christian heritage.
As good Christians, we cannot practice our religion unless the entire nation has to endure our carols and hymns and symbols everywhere they shop and go.
If you want to hear Happy Hanukkah or Merry Koran Day, move to some other country, because this is America, and we shouldn't have to tolerate other religions taking over our sacred American Christmas holiday.
We are a Christian nation. Listeners out there, join us and take up arms to defeat those who declare a war on Christmas, those who would ruin Christmas cheer.
There can be no joy or mirth as long as atheists, gay people, pro-abortionists, marijuana legalizers, and other whack job liberals attempt to destroy the Christmas season with their anti-Jesus.
And there you have it. Swell O'Reilly and Ann Coulter guys bring you plenty of holiday, Christmas cheer.
We'd let them go on longer, but we have other things to do here on the Ubu Hour. Don't touch that dial. Stay tuned for more.
Diamond dogs roasting on the open fire.
Okay, so let's begin.
Fuck. Okay.
Okay.
Oh. But just as a matter of tradition, this is a Christian country. No matter how many times liberals tell us it's not, it was founded by Christians, it was founded on Christian principles.
The war on Christmas is the tip of the spear in a larger battle to secularize our culture and make true religious freedom a thing of America's past. Walgreens' 24-page nationwide circular used the word holiday 36 times without one mention of Christmas.
Good evening, American family, and Merry Christmas! That's right, I said Merry Christmas, and I'll keep saying it until the liver-lipped loonies of the liberal left pry the mistletoe from my cold, dead hands.
Ho, ho, ho!
Ho, ho, holy is what Santa would be saying if his mouth hadn't been stapled shut by the jackbooted thugs of secular humanism. Yes, my friends, not everything is holy tonight as the war on Christmas heats up in the heartland. As for Silent, you be the judge.
Welcome to Walmart. Chuck, can you hear me? For God's sake, Chuck, come in.
Loud and clear, Kristen. Oh, the humanity.
Surviving associates running for shelter in nearby Fubon, which declared neutrality early on in the war.
The 82nd Avenue Walmart will be missed. I used to send my assistant there to buy my nicotine gum.
Like a violent secular plague, anti-Christmas insurgents marched east, putting every department store Santa in their path to the sword and leaving in their wake the smoking ashes of nativity scenes. Pro-Christmas forces are making a last desperate stand to hold Portland here at the Gresham Walmart.
Kristen, how are prices holding up?
Shoppers who somehow managed to break through the ring of carnage surrounding the superstore can expect excellent last-minute discounts.
At least there's that. And to think those bastards wanted to raise the minimum wage.
Get out there.
I don't want to.
Get out there or you're fired. Welcome to Walmart.
He died doing what he loved.
I've just received word that the company will generously generously be deducting only half the price of the greater smock from his final paycheck. The rest will go to his family.
Compassionate capitalism at its best.
We don't have to go through with this, you know.
Oh, look who's Mr. Passive-Aggressive now. You've been going on for weeks. I'm not raising another man's child, you said.
Well, it can't be mine. And you're not...
Out with it! Go ahead, say it.
Virgin. There, I said it. You're no virgin.
Joseph, I told you. You're my first.
First at what? We've barely gotten past second base.
Well, you will be my first when I'm... ready.
Ready? We've been married for months. And what about this, then?
I told you, I have no idea. Maybe it's a stomach virus. I think the hummus you brought home last week tasted off.
Or maybe you and the pita delivery boy were having a go at it while I was out breaking my back building crucifixes for the Romans.
It's a child, not a choice!
Life begins at conception!
And ends in crucifixion, sir! Ma'am, don't go in there! Yahweh wants you to have your child!
Oh, Christ!
Who?
Get out of the way, you lunatic! She's not here for that!
And what's she here for?
My husband here doesn't believe I'm a virgin.
Can you blame me? I mean, look at her! Ow!
Where did the trust go?
Well, it's easy to see how... I mean, you are clearly... blessed.
I'll bless you, zealot.
I meant it as a compliment.
Oi! Look there! That bush is on fire!
Meh, third time this week.
Wait a minute.
Don't! You'll singe the baby!
I've seen this before. You there, in the bush. Come out of there, you. I've seen you before.
No, you haven't.
It's all coming back to me now. That night in the manger. Only you were a shepherd then.
I knew it!
Shut up, you!
Yes, well, about that.
Ooh, tricky, tricky bastard. Come on, then. Show yourself.
Fine.
Ooh, look at the pretty swan.
That's the swan who gave me herpes!
Wrong form.
A golden shower. Classy.
I want a golden shower.
Yeah, me too.
Like that's not gonna send mixed signals?
Sorry.
That's him! That's the one who tricked me!
She was telling the truth. You! You knew my wife! In the biblical sense?
I know a lot of women in the biblical sense. Also, I drink. A lot.
It is him! I recognize the beard! That's the one that got me up the stick! Kick his head in, Joe!
I think that's God.
Let's not jump to any, he's rather large.
Anyway, what do you expect going around dressed like a harlot? Get along a robe, woman. I can see your ankles.
You pig! Are you saying she was asking for it?
What? You mean she's not? I mean, look at those slutty sandals.
Who do you think you are?
Who, me? Nobody. Only the Lord thy God.
Told you, smartass.
You're a patriarchal sociopath is what you are.
Yeah, I've been called worse.
He was cuter as a swan.
Another birthday. I'm so bored.
My lord.
Oh, Michael, we've been through this. It's my father who's into all the formal stuff. Just call me Jesus. Or Jerry. Yeah. Jerry sounds, I don't know, cooler.
I'm sorry, my lord. Jerry. It's just that we've received word that an unholy host approacheth.
Oh, my. An unholy host, you say? As in Satan?
No, my lord. Jerry, your father crushed Satan's rebellion eons ago.
My father was always so good at that. I guess the smiting gene skips a generation.
There, there. What does Dr. Katz say about comparing?
Comparing makes both parties seem smaller.
That's right. I'll go to the gates and see what the unholy host wants.
On Dasher. On Prancer. On Beelzebub. On Moloch.
Fat boy, better cool it with that whip.
All you ever do is bitch. Where's your team spirit?
Who rules Christmas?
Santa!
You're goddamn right I do.
Halt, Kris Kringle! You are in a no-fly zone. Our Father who art in heaven, inside, orders you to turn your sleigh around and return to Earth, or else.
Or else? Ho, ho, ho! Or else what? He'll turn my wine back into water? Face it, Mike, the boy's a wuss. Nothing like his old man. That one had fire. Whatever happened to him?
He's dealing with multiple paternity suits. Why don't you wait here?
Quit stalling. I don't negotiate with cherubs. Bring on the birthday boy. Well, that's more like it.
Yea, I have come. What would thou have of me, Kris Kringle?
Drop the innocent act, Christ. You know damn well what I want. Christmas is mine, has been for years. Let's lose the charade. I want a public declaration from you that I rule Christmas.
I see. And what do I get out of the bargain?
Well, after Christmas is officially renamed Santa McClaus, with all the rights and royalties and intellectual property shifted to me, I back my unholy host away from the pearly gates and go back to managing sweatshops. You can keep Easter. Stupid holiday, no presents. Anyway, we don't need other holidays. Santa McClaus will start a little earlier every year. I'll have the dumb bastards climbing over each other for bargains in August. Ho, ho, ho.
Santa McClaus. How interesting. And this war against Christmas?
That? That was just something my friends in the media cooked up as a diversion to keep the rubes occupied.
A false flag operation.
I guess you could call it that, yeah.
Michael, be an angel and turn on the TV.
At once, my... Jerry.
Jerry?
It's a new thing he's trying out.
Hey, what are you trying to...
Oh, Santa. I may not have inherited my father's penchant for smiting, but I've managed to develop more in the way of, let's just call them, tactics.
What do you mean, Christ? You and I both know that your side is losing the war against Christmas, big time.
Really?
And in the strip malls throughout the country, carnage and destruction reign as anti-Christmas forces continue their relentless assault against all that Christmas has come to represent. Back to you, Chuck.
Tragic indeed, Kristen. Tragic. It seems as if for the time being the lamentable Lancelots of loony leftism have won, leaving it up to bloviated blowhards like myself to wish America the most somber of holidays, to be celebrated for lack of shopping venues with friends and loved ones at home or in the church of their choice.
My malls! No!
I'd also like to remind viewers that it's their patriotic duty to keep the economy afloat by shopping online. Operators are standing by.
The war on Christmas was a false flag operation all along.
Classic Jesus. Well, so much for this war on heaven. Who wants to head to my place for eggnog? I'm TiVoing the Yule log.
Wait! My sleigh!
Kris, you were saying?
Are the buses still running?
Of course not. It's Christmas.
You can sleep outside the pearly gates. Don't pee on the ivy. Merry Christmas.
He knows when you've been sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Christ! Ugh, I really need to take a leak.
Not in my shrubbery, you don't.
Aren't you going to answer it?
Oh, it's my father. Probably a birthday call. I never know what to say to him. Somehow he always makes me feel like... I don't know.
Like you're not the son he wanted?
Yeah. To hell with it. Hey, Dad. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, I guess that was pretty cool. Of course I knew you'd know. You're omniscient. Well, yes, I'm sure you would have done it your way. We're very different people. Father, we've talked about this. Smiting is your thing, not mine.
Remember what Dr. Katz told you, Jerry. When you let him push your buttons, you're giving up control.
I'm not going to get into this conversation. Thank you for your birthday wishes. Yes. Fine. I'd very much appreciate it if you'd refrain from calling me when you've been drinking. Good night.
Good for you, Jerry. Taking back the power.
Thank you, Michael. You're an angel.
I try to be. Merry Christmas, Jerry.
Merry Christmas, Michael.
And from all of us at the Uber Hour and KBOO, Merry Christmas, Spectacular Solstice, Happy Hanukkah, Awesome Kwanzaa,
and a Merry Fucking Festivus.
Samba Ramadan.
The preceding audio drama, An Ubu Christmas, was written by Joshua Samuel Brown and was performed by...
Us.
Twilight.
Yehuda Bangs.
Seth.
Rolf.
Joshua Samuel Brown.
Victor Rattlehead.
Mahatma Jones.
Chris Cross Ross.
Produced by Josh and Rolf.
Yes.
Oh, a solemn and dignified Ramadan.
Yeah, but that's not until July. I looked it up. We got 6 months for that. We'll do a Ramadan show. That'll really get us into trouble.
What
Okay. Now time for another Ubu Hour holiday tip. Buying gifts for relatives you don't know very well can be stressful. Here's an idea. All of those impeach shirts that you have sitting around unused in your closet for the last 5 or 6 years? You know the ones, bright red with the words impeach in black or white letters? They make the perfect gift for your tea party uncle.
The season, as they like to say. Up next, Ubu Hour Radio Theater is proud to bring you a cheerful holiday tale to warm the cockles of young and old alike.
Okay, Ubu Christmas Pageant, Act 1, Scene 1, the birth of our Lord and Savior.
Our tale takes place a long time ago in a far-off land. A child was born on a special day near the end of December. 3 wise guys followed a star, bearing gifts of gold, Frankenstein, and mirrors.
That's myrrh.
The gold, now that makes sense. To buy gifts, to buy more baubles and things. Gold is a perfect symbol for Christmas. But I don't understand this Frankenstein and mirror. What is a Frankenstein?
A creature brought back from the dead. When the baby looks into a mirror and sees this thing, and it mirrors what will become of the child when he is a man.
They'll kill him and then he'll be brought back from the dead, just like the experiments of Dr. Frankenstein.
It is cold and icy. The three kings traipse through fresh fallen snow past fir trees covered with tinsel and shiny glass balls.
The three wise guys speak among themselves as they approach the manger.
Well, it's awfully cold here, not in Bethlehem.
Not so cold, really, for a desert night. It always cools down at night in the desert.
Yes, there's the manger over there. This way, this way.
Quietly now. We have to make sure it's the right one.
Okay, here we are.
Take a peek in the window.
What is that dirty old man doing with that very young girl? Is this who we're looking for?
They have a baby. That baby's gonna be a big name someday.
I think they should arrest that old man for kidnapping that girl.
It just doesn't look right. That decrepit old fart lusting on that prepubescent teen.
Their names are Joseph and Mary, and they are betrothed to one another. They will soon be married.
And the baby? Okay, I get it. It's one of those marriages.
Let it be noted that according to the Bible, when Jesus was born, Mary was 13 years old. How old was her husband, Joseph?
It's not known, except that he was an old man who had already been married once.
Think of it, listeners. Mary was 13 years old, barely a teenager, when Jesus was born. Joseph may have been 50, or maybe 80 years old.
Some sources say he was 90. Funny how they don't really depict that in the nativity scenes.
It's just another tale of some old lecher getting his wrinkly paws on a young girl.
Probably written by other dirty old men.
Will you people get off it? Joseph was probably only 30 or 40 years old.
Is that all? How would you like your 13-year-old daughter marrying a 30 or 40-year-old man?
These days, that would be statutory rape. At the very least, it's unseemly. Why are we airing such disgusting material?
What were those crazy men in the desert thinking when they wrote this?
Hey, no more digression. We need to move on with the show. Where were we? Okay, alright. Three wise men have just arrived at the manger. The baby, name of Jesus. The baby's name is Jesus.
I don't like it one bit. What kind of sick tale are we being drawn into?
What does the G stand for?
The G? I don't quite follow you.
The G in front of his name. Jesus.
Let's dump these gifts and get out of here. I don't want anything to do with this.
The G stands for God, I suppose.
Jingle, jingle, jingle. Advertising jingles jangle in your jungle. Make sure you go out and buy something for the holidays.
Who was this child, born in a manger? Was he really any more important than all the other impoverished peoples from that time to this one? Born in alleys and shacks, and in dusty roadways, and fetid sties, and squalid rooms, and collapsing tenements.
They were following a star. These three wise men followed a star. They were the first paparazzi. This was many years before the invention of the camera.
We call this holiday Christmas. The name Christmas is derived from the words Christ and mess. The little baby Christ made a mess.
God damn it, Larry, it stinks in here. Why the hell don't you change the diapers?
It's your turn, Joseph. Why should I do all the work?
It's your baby, not mine. I had nothing to do with it.
Maybe those three wise guys will help. Are you three just gonna stand out there with those packages? Can't any of you do something? Can't any of you help out?
The three men stood there and did nothing.
Well, we're kind of three kings. We come bearing gifts and, you know, for the newborn king and all.
We did spend a lot of money on these gifts.
Can't any of you help out?
The wise men stood there and looked confused.
We spent money on gifts. What more?
Like cleaning the manger, changing the diapers. There's a lot of housework that needs to be done around here.
After an uncomfortable silence, where the three men look among themselves with more confusion, the angry director steps onto the scene and yells,
"Cut! This scene has gone on long enough. You people need to stick more to the script. Now, where were we?"
When the beginning ends, the end begins. There is no beginning and no end. We must start over from the beginning. To begin again is to end the beginning of the end. And the end is beginning to end the beginning. To start again from the beginning is to begin again. Deeds.
Crucify! Crucify! Put him on that cross!
Okay, got you. Act 3, Scene 4. On the third day...
More than 30 years have passed. They killed a man and stuck him in the ground. Mary weeps for her dead son.
She's still there sobbing. It's been 3 days already.
Doesn't she know her kid is dead? The troublemaker got what he deserved.
What's going on over there? There's something coming out of the grave. The dead body is coming out of the grave.
He has risen. He has risen.
Run away! Run away!
The dead have risen.
Zombie apocalypse!
Zombie apocalypse!
No, it was not the zombie apocalypse. Only one living dead climbed out of the ground that day. An emaciated man with long white beard and hair.
He has a large bloody hole in each hand and foot. His body is covered with scars. He shambles and stumbles on the foot trails with stiff, awkward steps.
Mules and horses give him a wide berth. Dogs bark and growl when he gets near. Women push children inside. Other children throw rocks at him and then run away.
He does not speak. He does not sleep. He has no possessions except the rags on his back. His eyes are black pools of ink.
The stench of rotting flesh surrounds him and keeps the people away. But on one day, Hyrax, a prince of Galatia, has a stuffy nose and could not smell a thing.
Hey you, old man, do you know the way to Antioch? Hey, stop when I talk to you, damn you! Damn you, you peasant! Stop walking when I talk to you! My father's the chieftain of Galatia! I'll get off this horse and teach you a lesson about manners to your superiors!
Oh, let him be. He probably can't even hear you.
Yes, he can. He's being impudent. Oh!
He doesn't know anything. He looks crazy and he stinks worse than the other peasants.
That doesn't mean he can ignore his superiors. Okay, you're not getting around me, you...
What's wrong, Hyrax? You look like you've seen a ghost.
No, touched a ghost when I touched his arm. The man's flesh, it was so cold, like touching a corpse. And his eyes, there was nothing there.
I told you to leave him alone. He's sick or something.
It was like he was dead.
Dead? How can a dead person walk?
My hand touched it. Oh God, Josephine, what am I going to do with my hand? My hand touched it.
Relax, Hyrax. You'll be okay. All we need to do is chop off your arm, or you'll become just like it.
Keep walking. I must keep walking. Never stay any place too long or they'll come for me.
Ghost! Ghost! Zombie! Demon! Find the evil one and kill the evil one! Burn it with fire! Purify the land!
Kill the evil one! Burn with fire! Purify the land!
Stay away from people. Stay away from prophets and religious leaders. Stay away from the cities and villages. Take the least traveled road. I need to find a place where there are no people. I need to find a place where the night lasts forever.
And it is not an idea that I miss.
The creature continued north until it reached the Black Sea. No one knows why it was called the Black Sea.
Some say it was because it was a black day for all the sailors who died trying to sail its turbulent waters.
Others say the Black Sea gets its name because in those days of antiquity, the sea was as black and dark as ink.
On calm days, its smooth, dark surface looked like a vast slab of black marble that one could walk across as if it were solid.
Beneath its shiny, opaque surface, the Black Sea held its secrets and conquests out of sight, away from the prying eyes of man, beast, and fowl.
Within its waters, the fish and sea crustaceans inhabited a world of endless night. Nothing could see inside the Black Sea.
And then one day, a very old man and a woman in her mid-40s walk onto the shoreline from higher ground.
A logical choice, Mary. We know he came here. We just don't know where he went from here.
But which way did he go? To the east or the west?
Perhaps he went forward, into the water.
Yes, Joseph, that would be a place of endless night. Then he's gone forever.
Oh, not forever, Mary. He's still in your head. He's still in the memory. Just like me.
Would I dare follow him into the inky depths of the Black Sea?
You don't know if that's the way he went. And if he did, then your journey has ended.
Don't hide the truth from me, Joseph. Which way did he go? Tell me now or I'll walk into the sea.
Hey, winch! Who are you talking to?
There's no one else here on the beach with you.
No one. Right you are. I was talking to myself.
The woman turns to face the three wise men, much older now, as they ride onto the beach on their horses towards her. She stands alone with the Black Sea beyond her.
Perhaps you could help us, my good woman. We are looking for a hideous man creature.
What was once a man, but now a walking corpse. A thing of monstrous pure evil that eats babies and people.
We have been commissioned by Prince Hyrax of Galatia to hunt down and rid this monster from the kingdom.
No, not to rid it, but to send this monster back to whatever hell from whence it spawned.
Yeah, we gots to burn it and destroy it completely from this here world.
We have followed its trail to this bleak shore, wench.
Tell us, did you see this creature of which we speak? Do you know if it turned left or right?
No. I have no idea what you're talking about. I arrived here myself not long before you.
Y'all sure of that?
Any who are weak who come into contact with it become corrupted by its evil.
How do we know such a fate has not betaken you, wench? How do we know that you are not lying to us after he's lied with you?
Yeah, exactly. Who were you talking to when we arrived?
Do you not remember me? 30-something years ago, the manger, you brought gifts, the baby.
Don't try to change the subject, wench. Who was here on the beach with you before we came upon you?
My name is Mary. Surely you recall the baby. You brought us gifts. It was in Bethlehem.
Not me.
Yes, all three of you were there. It's me, Mary.
We don't care what your damn name is, wench. Stop evading our questions.
Hey, wait. I vaguely remember something of Bethlehem and a manger. That was a long, long time ago, Mary. If that's in fact who you really are.
You can't expect us to remember every tryst or sexual escapade we've conducted with prostitutes and wenches. What does it matter, anyways?
No time for idle chit-chat when this monster stalks the world. If she won't tell us what we need to know...
She'll tell us sooner or later, or we'll have our way with her.
The three men climb off their horses and approach the woman from three sides as she backs towards the dark waters.
Okay, cut. We can't let this go on. This is a holiday pageant, so we can't air any rape or torture.
Yeah, it's not like you'd find stuff like rape and torture in the good book. No, not at all.
We need to go to the next scene. Act 3, Scene 4. In the city of... Oh, shit.
Ankara?
Okay.
It's
Ankara.
I don't know, but that's what they say like in the...
But it's the same city.
Okay.
But it's
Ankara.
Yeah.
Ankara? Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't you guys see Indiana Jones?
It's all right. And Prince Hyrax of...
Of Galatia.
Galatia.
Hey, I did some okay. research on Wikipedia and stuff.
Okay. Act 3, Scene 4. In the city of Ankara. In the palace of Prince Hyrax of Galatia.
Can you hand me that, Josephine? This is so frustrating.
You'll get used to it, Hyrax.
No, I won't. That creature has ruined me. How can I become a great leader with only one arm?
Any word yet from those three men you sent out?
No, nothing. The trail ends north of here in Paphlagonia at the coast of the Black Sea.
I don't know why you hired that trio. Wiseman, my ass. Those idiots are worthless.
Anyway, the monster either went east to Pontus or west to Bithynia and Trache. There's no way I'll get my vengeance now.
At this point in the narrative, our tale becomes even murkier than the Black Sea. As the zombie with the white hair and beard stumbles northward toward uncivilized realms.
Hungry wolves and large cats, lured by the carrion smell from afar, follow the creature with howls and growls. The lack of fear in the creature creates fear in these predators, and they eventually back off again.
It travels at night into the lands that one day will become Russia, the Ukraine and the Baltic states, and then Transylvania and beyond the borders of the Roman Empire.
He is espied from afar by savages, feeding on blood. Feeding on flesh. Stories and myths spool out into elaborate webs to become ingrained in the human psyche.
The myths jumble and reconverge. The fear of the cross, the living dead, Nosferatu and vampires, the creatures of the night, echoing through the genetic DNA of humanity from the shadow of the Earth subconsciousness.
Every story has already been told. The living dead monster man flees to the Arctic Circle, chased by the mad doctor who brought it to life. In 1818, a woman named Mary writes words that reverberate into the future from the past.
The monster wants to escape people. The monster wants to escape its creator, whether God or a scientist.
And he shambles onward, northward, to a place where there are no people. A place where day and night lasts a year.
A place where the very essence of time is frozen and moves very slowly. A place at the end of the world to escape the world.
No one knows what happened. We do not have the answers. That's why we must go to the next scene.
Scene 7, Act 3. The Santa Claus Sanity Clause.
And then it's many centuries later.
We see a fat old man in red pajamas with white fur trim.
He goes by many names, Saint Nick, Father Christmas, but he's mostly known as Santa.
Some think he's the devil. He's all in red, and the letters S, A, N, T, A, rearranged, spell the word Satan.
Perhaps Satan has gotten fat off his crimes, and he becomes this jolly old man known for giving out toys.
Or perhaps there's a different story here, as we go now to a pair of explorers at the center of the Arctic Circle. The snow in front of them is lit by the bright halogen lanterns on their helmets. We're almost there. The North Pole should be over that snowdrift.
Whoa, look at that.
What the... Why the hell would someone build a big structure like that? Let's see if anyone is home.
I don't know. They might be the enemy. We should go back to base camp, get the others, and come back here heavily armed. Come back here, Jean. What are you doing? Get away from that door.
Whoever lives here is probably desperate for company.
A big man opens the door and beckons her in.
Ho, ho, ho. Hey, you. Little man up there on the snowdrift. You want to come inside?
Come on, Dick. Don't be a dick. It's warm in here.
Well, okay. I guess it's safe.
And then it's several hours later.
So how did you end up here?
I hated the desert. I wanted to get away from the people. If you remember, I was dead, and then I was alive again. People talk, people say things. I had to get out. So I headed north. I kept traveling north until I couldn't go north no more. And here I am at the North Pole.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't head west, or east, or you'd still be traveling.
Anyway, I need to check on the elves. Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho. I like me some hoes. Ho, ho, ho. Which one of you wants to be Santa's ho? Ho, ho, ho.
This is crazy, Jane. You don't buy all this bullshit, this guy being Santa Claus.
Not just Santa, Jesus too. Were you listening to his story?
He looks nothing like Jesus. He's too fat, for one thing.
At one time he was thin, back many years ago. But when all you can do is eat seal blubber, you put on some weight.
But Santa is not Jesus. They have nothing in common.
That's right. Santa is nothing like Jesus. Except according to the Bible, Jesus had white hair and a beard. Just like Santa.
According to the book of Isaiah, Jesus wore red apparel.
What was Jesus' profession?
He was a carpenter?
Ah, he was a carpenter. Santa's profession? He made toys out of wood. He was a toy carpenter. Pretty similar, don't you think?
You guys are full of it. They are completely different people. Santa is a fat old guy invented to sell sugary carbonated drinks with traces of cocaine.
Jesus is omnipotent, right? And a guy who can deliver toys to every kid in the world? Omnipotent.
Jesus knows everything. Santa knows if every kid in the world has been naughty or nice.
So what? The NSA knows everything too. Santa probably gets his data from the NSA.
It's the same guy, I tell you. Where do you think Jesus went after he rose from the dead, huh?
Another name for Santa is Kris Kringle. That's German for Christkindl, or Christ Child.
Okay, you people made your point.
Who are you people, anyway? Are you elves?
Do we look like elves?
Elves don't exist.
No, but maybe you work in Santa's toy factory?
Shh, don't say anything about the toy factory.
What's up with that?
Oi, what's going on here? Are you disturbing my other guests?
They were asking questions, Santa.
Questions? What sort of questions?
About the elves.
Not this again. Who sent you to spy on me?
No one. What's going on?
Get your hands off me.
Throw them in the brig.
Oh, you shouldn't have asked about the elves.
What about the elves?
Elves don't exist. The little people that work in his toy factory are not elves, they're children. He buys them from the slave trade.
That's right, Santa uses child labor in his factory. He calls them his little elves.
And sometimes he calls them his little ho-ho-hos.
None of that, or I'll throw you in the brig as well. What do people expect? I give out a lot of gifts to a lot of kids. I need to manufacture those gifts. No one is paying me for this gig. So if I have to make use of some cheap labor to better the whole of child kind with wonderful Christmas gifts, the ends justify the means.
But you don't even do that. Rich kids get gifts because their parents buy the gifts. Poor kids might get a few gifts because of charity.
In a just world, kids would be rewarded by how good they are, not by how wealthy their parents are. But it doesn't work that way, does it, Santa?
If you were a real Santa, that's how it would be.
But that's how it does work. The kids whose parents worked hard to earn enough money to buy them nice gifts get rewarded, and...
But that's not the way it's supposed to be. Besides, just because a CEO makes a lot more money than other workers doesn't mean he's working harder.
And what about the kids that work in your toy factory, Santa? Do they get any gifts at all?
We do pay them 13 cents a week. They can buy their own damn gifts.
In other words, it's all just a big con. Your clothes are red with the blood of children killed in your factories. You are fat and comfortable while others starve.
Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho. Oh, ho, ho.
That's really
that
good.
Is so true. And now I'm hungry, so I'll eat a lot of you. Ho, 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 ho. Ah, no corn syrup in this. Ha, ha, ha. Now where's my pipe?
God bless us, everyone.
And I guess that's how the show ends. That's it. Now, let's clean this mess up and get the fuck out of here.
This has been yet another ridiculous Ubu Hour holiday special presentation.
Performing in tonight's show were the following people.
Rudolph.
Rolf.
Sebastiano.
Smirky McFlight Suit.
Noan Kria.
Victor Rattlehead.
Sova Mind.
I don't have a fake name.
Kristen Yount.
Victoria Stoppiello.
Renster Metagirl.
No name for yourself.
Oh, okay.
This show was written and produced by Rolf Semperborn.
Fawn.
Oh, why do I have an
There's
R?
No R in the bike.
What? I always
Fawn.
Put an R in your name.
Somebody won't. It means always good.
Always good. Oh, you're a frickin' one of them pasta heads. All right. This show was written and produced by Rolf Semperborn.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Well, just use your real name. I use my real name.
That's
real
name, actually. Yeah.
That's it. That's
okay.
It.
So we gotta get
Ren. Ren, yeah, we gotta bring Ren in here.
We're all, I wanna record Santa.
So go. No, no, you gotta do it again. Go.
No, I was gonna jump out.
Your here. Name.
This has been the Ubu Radio Theater Hour, coming at you every first Monday at 11 p.m. here on KBOO Portland.
We won't be back until next month, but have no fear, because there's radio theater every Monday night.
With awesome shows like Goblin Time, Sudden Theater, and Human Sub-Intellect Theater.
And if you want to listen to this program again or other Ubu Hour shows, you can podcast us on the web.
Go to kboo.fm and look for Ubu, spelled U-B-U.
And we'll see you next month with
the Ubu Hour.
Christmas.
they come up first. Thank you very much and have a good weekend.
Just like the ones I used to know, where the tree comes to hear.
Stay tuned for the Tiki Cha Cha Club.
We better start the show rolling.
Ole, ole, it's show time.
In the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room,
all the birds sing words and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room,
welcome to our tropical hideaway, you lucky people, you. If we weren't in the show starting right away, we'd see the audience too.
All together in the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room,
all the birds sing words and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room.
Our magnificent production is yet to come, so strum the guitar and beat the drum. We've been a hit and we know you adore us, so come on and join us in another chorus.
In the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room,
all the birds sing words and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room,
a little louder.
In the tiki 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 room, all the birds sing words and the flowers croon. Diggy, 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 room.